So I'm going to get started here and just begin with prayer. Father, I just thank you for this time sharing. We thank you, Father, for you speaking into the hearts of everyone here. You just use me and speak through me to minister to the needs and to the places in their hearts that still need to be comforted, still need to be healed. Thank you, Father, for just opening all of our spiritual eyes and ears to hear with our hearts so that it will change us. Father, that this is going to be a time that we all are changed, and it's not just in our head, but it gets placed in our heart where it can make a difference in our lives. Thank you, Father, in your name, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, what I want to share is on the screen over there, so what's holding you back? I assume that maybe some of you, at least when you saw the title to our weekend, The Glorious Freedom of Sonship, were excited about that, but then you may have asked yourself, well, you know, maybe I'm not really receiving this freedom. I'm coming because I want to find out how to get free. And I hope maybe that after we're finished sharing today, that will be a place where you can walk in a little more freedom as sons and daughters, so loving, always loving Heavenly Father. For me, I was so caught up in doing and so caught up in performance and trying to be pleasing to other people, trying to get people to accept me because I had dealt with a lot of rejection growing up. And so I tried to do everything right. I tried to do everything the way that I thought other people would like it. And I carried that over to my Heavenly Father. I thought I had to do things right for Him to like me as well. And Christianity was a hard work. It was hard walking in faith. I was being told all these things. I was in this big learning curve in my left brain of, well, you got to read the Bible, you got to pray, you got to go to church, you got to do this, you should do that, you should do this. The 5 lists of walking in faith and the 10 lists of seeing your answers to your prayers and all these things, and it was an effort, and it was difficult, and it wasn't fun, and it definitely wasn't free. And then Sue and I felt in our heart that we were to begin ministering to children. We started out in a third grade Sunday school class in a Methodist church, and the Lord just opened up the reality that this was something He had given us talent for. I was a natural in being using puppets, and we made all of our puppets and props and everything, and the kids were just eating it up. You know, we started out with 9 kids when we took over the class, and there were 30 when we finished it, and the parents were coming to us complaining, you know, we can't even leave town for a weekend because our kids don't want to miss Sunday school. It was so much fun. And it was fun for them, but it was a lot of work for us. And then we felt the Lord was leading us to reach out beyond the church. And we started King's Kids Unlimited when we started out, and we incorporated as a profit corporation, and we began ministering to churches. Churches started inviting us from all over the area. We went to other states and ministered to children, and it was fun and exciting, but it was a lot of work. It was difficult. And then the doors opened to us to become children's pastors at 2 different churches. In the second church, after 5 years, we just were exhausted. We just burned out. We almost walked away from everything. It was a few of God's little incidences that prevented us from just from dropping the whole thing because it was exhausted, because it wasn't fun. It wasn't, well, it definitely wasn't free. It wasn't until I got my heart healed and Sue got her heart healed about, we keep saying 16, maybe is it 17 years now that we have walked in this new revelation and this new freedom that we have as sons and daughters. And getting my heart healed and walking through the forgiveness of my mother and father and beginning to receive, really receive in my heart the love of the Father, that was free. That set me free. It set me free from addictions. It set me free from all the self-hatred and self-condemnation that I carried all my life, all the shame, the guilt, all this stuff that was weighing me down, as well as this whole need to please the Father, this need to do it right, to get it right, to read another book, to find out how to do this and how to do that, and go to church and listen to the ministers tell me all the things I should do and should not do. So it was just lifting all this off of me, and it was so freeing. And that's what I want to get into a little bit here for a couple minutes, what we have left, to share with you some of those reasons why we might be held back from experiencing this freedom that we really want all of you to begin to experience like we started to experience in our lives. Jesus said in Matthew 11:30 that my yoke is easy and my burden is light. To really want to walk in freedom, that sounds good. And when I was preparing for this, what really dropped into my heart was that the yoke is the intimacy with our Heavenly Father, and the burden is the Father's love. And we are yoked in intimacy with the Father, and we carry this burden, this love of the Father with us everywhere, and we share it with other people. And it's easy, and it's light, and it's freeing, and it's enjoyable. And I hope that all of you can begin to experience and walk in that in your lives as Sue and I have started to in ours. Well, we have been exposed to a ministry called Rediscovery of the Heart, and it's all about getting back to our ancient Hebrew roots of what the heart is all about and how the heart works. And they have five truths I'm be covering in the next hour that we get to share with you, all five of these truths. But the first truth is that we are who we are in our heart. And a condition of our heart makes all the difference. What's going on in your heart that's going to impact your life? And it's going to allow you to either experience the freedom of walking in sonship or carrying the burden of the world and everything else, walking in an orphan heart or in slavery and in servanthood that church and the world tries to put on us. And what's in our heart is what we've allowed to come into our heart. And we are the gatekeepers of our heart. And we can choose whether to accept something as truth or not. And we can choose to evaluate something as, is this a lie or is this the truth? And if we have something feel like it's true, and just like Sue went over last night, some of the reasons why we think things are true or real, and we can open our heart to it and take it in as a belief, as something that we believe. And it hopefully is based upon the truth, but it may not be there. Anything that isn't the truth is a lie. And I want you to just pause a little bit and let you think about that. Anything that is not the truth is a lie. There's no gray areas. There's no in-betweens. So I've heard people call them lesser truths or just like Sue said, the reality of finding out what the truth is, it changes, that like the flatness of the earth's surface rather than it's round. Well, the truth, the Bible, that's what, why Christopher Columbus got in the boat and started sailing out in the ocean when he didn't see anything but water in front of him, because he read a scripture verse, and I think it's in Isaiah, that says that the world's round. And he was going on the truth, and it worked. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so he's a reflection of the Father, so the Father is the truth also. And everything the Father says and shares is the truth, so the scriptures are the truth. So anytime we want to know and make sure that what the truth is, so I'm putting the in front of it because it is the only truth that we can really and should live by, is what does the word say? And along with that, if the word doesn't specifically say something, what is the Father saying to us in our heart? What is the author or the origin of all truth saying and speaking into our heart? And that can be the truth to us as well, if it's not specifically spelled out in the scriptures or not, but it can still be part of the truth in our lives. So walking in this new revelation has been a process. I was thinking about that when I was putting this together. I started out as an unbeliever until I was in college at Campus Crusade for Christ. Someone shared the four spiritual laws with me, and I saw that I was sitting on the throne of my life, and God was neatly out there somewhere else, and I was in control of everything. And it so convicted my heart when this guy from Campus Crusade was sharing with me that I opened my heart up, made Jesus Lord of my life, asked for the forgiveness, and walked into a new level of freedom. And it was like a 1,000-pound weight lifting off my shoulders. I can still feel it when I share this with you, or any other time I share it, I just can go back to that memory of just how lightness came to me. I was carrying all this cares and effort and things of the world on my shoulders, and it was so freeing, but yet I made him Savior, but I didn't make him Lord. I still hung on to some of these secrets in my life that were still controlling my life and bringing comfort to the pain that was in my heart. And I lived in a level of freedom, but I also lived in this control atmosphere as well, trying to hide things and make sure other people didn't discover what else I was made of and was doing in my life. And the Father, in his gentle, loving, relentless love for me, kept working on it, and it was motivated by Sue's prayers. I remember Kenneth Copeland saying that his grandmother used to be in God's face all the time, and so God finally said, look, I'm going to take care of this. And he got Kenneth Copeland in a way that brought him into salvation. It was kind of like the story they share about the judge who the woman kept coming back to him until he finally did something about it. But Sue's prayers, and I think some other people's prayers, eventually the Holy Spirit impacted me, and I was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and there was another level of freedom. I began speaking in tongues. The revelation of the Word just opened up to me. It was another tremendously dramatic change in my life that raised the level of freedom in my heart. But like I said before, I was still controlling parts of my life. And this pain area didn't really get healed until 16, 17 years ago, when we were finally introduced to the truth that Father is a Father of love, that I had a Heavenly Father who loved me and accepted me the way I was, that I was a son, and I was able to walk through the forgiveness of my dad and my mother and set free from all the pain and released all the pain and got rid of all the things that were causing me to try to control my life. And that was the freedom that Father always wanted me to have, and that was the freedom that comes when you get this revelation. It's not in your head, but it gets this revelation in your heart that you're his son or his daughter, and that you really know a Heavenly Father who loves you unconditionally, and there's nothing you'll ever do that would cause him to love you less. There's nothing you'll ever do that causes him to love you more. And he's loving you continuously, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. I do, and we do together sometimes before we go to sleep at night, is we just thank the Father that I'm your son, and you're my Father, and you love me, and you're going to love me all night long. He's pouring his love out on us all night long. If you get the book back there, Daddy, You Love Me, Brent Locker shares a story about the time he was in a car and the lady that was with him had a small child. And all day long, this child was just running around, having fun, just totally enjoying life as a free child will and should. And when he got in the car and they were driving home, he fell asleep. And he fell asleep on his mother's lap. And she just started kissing him and just loving on him and just pouring her love out on him. And the Father spoke into his heart. He says, you know, that's the way I am when you're sleeping. Because you're so busy all day long doing all this other stuff, it's hard for me to really impact you with my love. But all night long, you're asleep, and I can just kiss you. Even when you read the story of the prodigal son, and you look up the Greek and the Hebrew about that story, when the father kissed his son, it literally means a continuous He was just kissing him all over. And that's the way we see the Father when you're asleep at night. You can see the Father just having you in his arms and just pouring his love out on you while you're sleeping. That wasn't in my notes, but... So, that vision really is impacting me even now. So where I'm at now is the revealing of being a son. And what does it mean to walk in sonship? And what did Paul mean in Romans 8:19 when he said that the whole world is crying out for the revelation of the sons and daughters and the sons of God? When I was thinking one time about the story in Genesis and when he brought man and woman together on the earth and he gave them this command to be fruitful and multiply and subdue the earth. And what really hit my heart was is that that subduing of the earth is the taking of the love of the Father over the whole earth and exposing the whole earth to the love that he has for them. And in doing that, we spread the kingdom of God throughout the whole world and begin to help other people walk in this freedom and set free from their past. So our identity is really tied very closely to being sons and daughters. And just like Adam and Eve, when they made the mistake in the garden and disobeyed the Father's command not to eat the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they hid themselves. They were ashamed. They were finally of a different reality of something about themselves that they were ashamed of. And so they covered themselves and they hid. And as I was also thinking about preparing for this, realizing that that's part of what holds us back, is we can go into hiding. Our original self can, out of fear or out of concern about what other people think, you name it, we can go into hiding. We can cover ourselves up and not want to be found, not want to be seen, not want to be recognized for fear of what other people might think about us or do or something we've said or done. And they separated themselves from the Father. And the Father really didn't want to force them to have to leave the garden. He would have preferred for them to seek his forgiveness. And I believe that there would have been a way for him to reconcile with them without forcing them to leave. But because of their response and everything, he realized the only thing that could happen is to be a separation. And it was Adam and Eve's choice that they separated from the Father. The Father never stopped loving them. They never stopped being his son and daughter. He never stopped pursuing them. He never stopped trying to reestablish this relationship with them. But they walked away. They left and began this pattern of separation. It's we call a fractal. You get a fractal is something that's the original, the first time something happens. Well, the first pattern, and it starts being repeated, that's the first one is the fractal, and that fractal gets repeated. So this separation, this independence of Adam and Eve became a fractal in humanity, and it was passed on from generation to generation. And it has brought all the pain and suffering into the world that we have. So freedom is about choice. And it really should be the atmosphere that we live in because it's where love can grow. You have to have some level of freedom. Now, you can be in a country that is totally locked down to God and trying to suppress that from you, and you can still have freedom in your heart. I'm not saying that the outward situation can stop you from having that freedom in your heart, but it's the place where love is going to grow, is the freedom you have in your heart. And if you can't choose not to love, then you can't choose to love. And so we need that freedom. So Father gave us that freedom and will of choice so that we could choose to love and be loved and receive love and give love away. Now, all the evils of the world and the sin and everything, not only can we hide, but it also can become a veil over us. It's like a shadow or a heavy covering over us that prevents us from being free, that prevents us from seeing beyond that. All we see is the sin. All we see is though it's wrong in our lives. We can't look beyond that. It's like a curtain or something over us that prevents us from being free, prevents us from walking in the freedom that Father wants to have. And it's not until we get our hearts healed, it's not until we start walking in that love and fellowship, walking in the sonship, walking in the sons and daughters, that we break free from this self-imposed prison around ourselves that we've built with all the fear, the embarrassment, the shame, the rejection, and everything else. And we come out of that, and we take the veil of sin off, and we begin to walk in this freedom, begin to walk out into the world. One of the pictures of this happening is in Pilgrim's Progress, where at one point he's in this area, and there's a fence around it, and he feels safe in there, and yet there's a gate, and the gate is open, but he's afraid to go through the gate. He's afraid to go out into the world because it's safe in this little fence there, in area where he's at, and it's preventing him from really being totally free. And it's when he walks through the gate and leaves the past and leaves this safe haven where he thought it was safe, that he really experiences the freedom of what his quest was all about. Now, it's interesting that our Heavenly Father is so wanting us to experience sonship and so wanting us to walk into that sonship that He will even use the painful and the traumatic things in our lives to help make that happen. And Romans 8:28 is a familiar verse to most people, and it's been used at funerals and used to comfort people when they have had bad, traumatic, or painful things happen in their lives. All things work together for good for those that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. That's verse 28. And I realized when I was just reading it this morning, even verse 28 starts to open this door of reality of what that verse is really about. I've never really liked that verse because how can you tell a parent who has just at the funeral home is experiencing the loss of a son that got in an accident and was killed, or a drunk driver hit them or whatever the situation was, that, oh, well, all things work together for good. And what's good about that? Well, there's nothing good about losing someone or walking through some painful or difficult situation, or the person who puts their arm around you and you're walking through bankruptcy or something like that, and they say, oh, all things work together for good. You know, there's going to be some good coming out of this. Well, what's the good about having to walk through bankruptcy? And yet, the answer really is in verse 29, and I want to read it from the Passion Translation, what Sue was using last night. For He knew all about us before we were born, and He destined us from the beginning to share the likeness of His Son. This means the Son is the firstborn among many who will become just like Him. The reality is the good that comes from all this tragedy, all this pain, all these difficult situations in our lives isn't just the comfort, isn't just the final blessing that you're going to get out of this. The reality is that He's trying to make you better aware and walking in your sonship. If you will take the opportunity to look at your heart and say, what's going on in my heart about this? Am I walking in love and forgiveness, or am I walking in judgment and anger? Am I walking in joy and happiness, or am I walking in depression or shame or guilt? And it would give you an opportunity to look at your heart and say, what condition is my heart in? Are there some orphan areas in my heart that I'm still responding in the wrong way and still responding out of the flesh, still responding out of the things from my past that were not good. And it gives you an opportunity then to say, all right, Father, I need to walk in love here. I need to forgive. I need to let go of holding these things from the past. I need to receive more of your love. You know, sometimes if what we're experiencing is bringing fear, what the Father's tapping you on the shoulder and saying, you need a little more love. Because perfect love will cast out that fear. You need to act more like a son. You need to let me be the father in this situation. Are you fearful about something happening? I'm your protector. Are you fearful about not having enough finances? I'm your provider. Are you fearful about something going wrong in your physical body? I'm your healer. Just turn your heart towards me and let me work this in your behalf as your father, and you can just enjoy the fruits of being my son or my daughter. The good that it's working together for is to help you become more of a son, more of a daughter. It's helping you to become better in the revelation of a father who's going to take care of this, who's going to walk you through this. He's going to be your comfort. If you're dealing with the loss of a loved one, he says, I want to be your comforter. I want to bring that comforting love to you to heal this wound in your heart from this loss that you're experiencing, that you're grieving over right now. I want to bring you back to a place of peace and rest and joy again. And so, in that respect, all things can work together for the good of becoming more like sons and daughters with a loving Heavenly Father. Father's greatest desire is to have this father-son relationship with us. That's what he's working towards in everything that takes place. You know, Sue and I can look back at all the places where he intervened in our lives and all the places that he took us and people we met and places we were at that we allowed us to meet certain people and moves that we made and all the orchestration of the things of our life were to help us walk into this experience of his loving us and experience of him being our Heavenly Father and us being his son and daughter. And there's a lot of good reasons why he wants that. One of them is that only a son can reveal the Father. And Jesus was the perfect example of a son. And one of the biggest reasons he came to the earth, besides going to the cross for our sins and to work of the cross, was to reveal the Father. When he was here, the 3 years of his ministry that we have recorded, he spent more time talking about the Father than any other subject. If you go back and look at how many times does he talk about the Father versus how many times he talks about anything else, it's far over on the side of talking about the Father. He wanted to reveal or reawaken in the people of the nation of Israel what they had lost. They had lost the revelation of the Father. And the Father wanted us to walk as sons and daughters. And unfortunately, the church has pursued everything else. They have majored on trying to help us know how to be good Christians, to know how to walk, to the things that we should do and we shouldn't do. They focus on how to do the ministry, how to minister healing to someone, how to pray, how to meditate and work understanding the scriptures and all this stuff, but they don't really focus very much attention on being sons and walking in sonship or the revelation of a loving Heavenly Father. I think back of all the messages that I have heard from coming from a pulpit in churches, and there are maybe a handful of them. And all of the ones that I can remember had anything to do about the Father or about walking in sonship, walking as sons and daughters. In any area of our heart that doesn't have the Father as the motivating central part of it is what we would refer to as having an orphan heart, having at least part of your heart as an orphan heart. When I was growing up, I was 11 years old, I made the decision, because of what was going on in my house and happening with the way my father was interacting with us three boys, that I made a decision at 11 years old that I was separating myself from my father. I became a complete orphan within my own home. I lived at home for the rest of my years growing up, but I was not a son to my father. I only was obedient to him out of fear, because I didn't want to go down the basement and face the beatings that my two older brothers received. And I was the obedient child, but it wasn't because of I was loving and respecting my father. So we can be completely orphans, or even after I was saved and set free from that, and even within the last 17 years walking free from stuff, there were still orphan areas in my heart. If we're still doing things out of the flesh, we're still doing things out of control and not inviting or allowing the Father in them, those are areas that we don't respect the Father in, and they're orphan areas of our hearts. So we can all have those areas that the Father still wants to deal with. But there's no power. And we have a lot of orphans in the church. Unfortunately, we have orphans teaching orphans how to be orphans. And they teach an orphan Christianity based on the law and based on the shoulds and all the lists, the to-do lists and the how-to lists and how to make good choices, how to discipline yourself, how to walk in love, how to be kind, how to forgive, how to minister to others, how to develop good Christian character. The orphans are good at teaching you how to be an orphan. And unfortunately, that's a majority of what we hear coming from most of the churches. Thank God, if you want to listen to a pastor that has the Father's heart, I encourage you to go to vistaassembly.org and listen to Steve Myatt's messages. You'll be blessed, because that man has a revelation of the Father's love, and that's all he talks about. And all of his messages are about walking in sonship and walking in greater revelation of the Father's love. VistaAssembly.org, and it's Steve Myatt is the head pastor there. He has a whole list of sermons that you can either watch as videos or audio recordings, and we've been listening to them, and every once in a while he'll have one of his staff share on the Sunday morning. And the staff is all full of the Father's love, and they're all talking about sonship, and I'm thinking, wow, what a church. The church has, I think, tripled in size since he got this revelation of the Father through Father Hart Ministry. Oh, it's in San Diego. Sue and I said, oh, we could just live a little closer. That's a long drive to go to church on Sunday morning. But we just need to pray for our pastors to get a revelation of the love of the Father. That's a prayer that we are often lifting up to the Father, that the Father's love comes to State College, Father's love comes to Central Pennsylvania, and that all the churches are going to be full of sons and daughters walking in sonship and walking free from the old orphan style and patterns in their lives, including the pastors. But as an orphan, you can't share the Father with anyone, so the Father isn't involved in what you're doing, so there's really no power in that, especially no lasting power in it. And a lot of people, some that we know that are being exposed to the Father's love, but their intellect is still getting in the way, they want to minister, they want to see healings, they want to pray for people and things, and it's not happening. And part of that is that they're doing it out of an orphan perspective. Some of them are doing it in hopes of feeling good about themselves. If I can minister, I find something I can feel good about, rather than feeling good about yourself because you have a loving Heavenly Father and you're His Son. That's what you need to feel good about. And out of that love, out of that reality of the Father, we can pray for people and they will be healed. We can raise the dead. We can see maimed people come to life. Because the love of the Father is there, and we're revealing the Father. You know, everything that Jesus did was a revelation of this Father. He says, you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I'm giving you the Father when I'm releasing the Father's love into your life, whether it's raising someone from the dead or bringing wholeness back to their body or freedom from demonic oppression. It was all revealing the Father to them and revealing his love and allowing that love of the Father to flow through him into their lives and impact their hearts. So Jesus didn't do the ministry, he was the ministry. And that's the way we need to walk in our lives too. We're not doing ministry, we are the ministry to other people. When they see us, hopefully they see the Father. Hopefully they experience the love and the Father in their lives. And everywhere we go, if we're carrying the Father's love, we're going to be bringing peace and rest. People are going to experience something different when they impact us because they're impacting the Father and his love. And we've had a lot of people come to our house and they experience and sense this peace. There's something different. They say, I can tangibly notice there's something different when we come into your house. And we've prayed that this is part of the kingdom of God here on earth, and that that love, that peace, that rest, that joy is on our properties, and we've claimed them for the Lord and released the kingdom of God here on the earth, which is what Jesus wanted us, and he taught us how to pray, that his kingdom would come, that his love, his revelation of the Father would come here on the earth as it is in heaven. And that's why Jesus, everything he did was from a position of peace and rest. It was also coming from a position of being childlike. It's the childlike wonder that opens our heart to being able to walk in faith, being able to believe for the impossible, believing to see the impossible become possible in our lives. When you think about a child and their attitude, they have no difficulty believing. We were children's ministers and we went to a training by a guy by the name of Willie George, who has a nationwide ministry to children. And he said something that has really impacted my life and never forgot it, was that don't be surprised if you're ministering to your kids in church or a special service or whatever to kids, that they don't get that excited if someone's healed, because they just expect it. That's normal. That's what's expected. But even when Jesus was teaching, in Matthew 18, it talks about the kingdom of God and letting his light for children. It's for little children. The disciples were trying to prevent the little children from coming to him, and he says, stop doing that, because the kingdom of God is for children, and it's made up of little children. You can't enter the kingdom of God except as a child. And the reason the word little is added in there in the translation of the scriptures is because that word in Greek literally means a little toddler, someone of very young age. So when he said that the kingdom of God is like little children, he's talking about toddler-age kids. And you think about the qualities, Sue's going to talk a lot more about that, but they're fearless. I remember our grandkids especially had no problem jumping from the sofa to a chair when they were just 2 or 3 years old. They'll run across the street not even thinking about whether or not there's a car or somebody coming. They'll climb a tree at a very young age. Now, they don't have any insurance. They don't have any concern about what would happen if I fell out of this tree. They just are having fun. They're just totally oblivious to that. And in fact, if you think about it, in the Hebrew custom, they have a special ceremony called bar mitzvah when a boy turns 12, and a bat mitzvah when a girl turns 13. And after that point, they're not treated as and considered children. They're considered as adults. Everything is geared from that point forward to training them into their adult professions and picking up the father's business, and all those sorts of things happen after the bar mitzvah. So you have to back the clock up when Jesus says little children. Even it's got to be before 12 years old. And literally, it's toddlers, it's very young children that he's talking about. And they don't have any concerns about where the food's coming from, who's going to pay the bills. I remember Jesse Duplantis saying that when bills come into his ministry, he just picks them up and says, "Dad, here's a letter for you." And he, father takes care of the bills. Father takes care of those things. That's where a child walks through their lives. But we tend to live in this need-based mentality, this need-based reality, and it creates the insecurity. It creates the feelings of being in fear and who's going to provide, who's going to protect, who's going to take care of everything in my life. And that's part of the reason why Jesus said, hey, the birds don't care about this thing. The flower blooms and fades and withers and passes away, but he knows every hair on our heads. So one of the things that this freedom has brought to Sue and I, we were thinking about it every once in a while. We think back about how we used to be and how we are now and how much different that really is, and how much Father's love, revelation of sonship, has changed our lives and set us free. We used to try doing the work. A lot of the effort we did with children's ministry was our own effort, although Father honored that, and we saw kids saved and healed and set free from and things from their past. But we were always trying to please God, and once we got the revelation of the Father and His love, that we did like a 180 in all those areas, and we're totally free. I grew up with a poverty mindset being implanted in me. My dad never threw anything away. He fixed everything he could until it couldn't be fixed anymore, and then he would take it apart and save some of the parts. I wore the clothes that my two older brothers wore, whether they had holes worn in the knees of them or not. And it was this tightness with money and everything that I grew up with. And I had that mentality. And it was so freeing to realize that Father's the one providing, the Father's taking care of us. And He's a good Father. He's an always good Father. We're giving more and more away and more coming in than we're giving away. I've heard people say you can't outgive God, and I'm beginning to realize and believe that's true. The more you give, the more comes in. And we're not fearful of flying or traveling. I remember before my revelation of the love of the Father, the first time I was in a plane, I was clutching the armrest in that plane when it took off and landed, and my heart was racing and everything else. I was so fearful because I wasn't in control. What I realized looking back of it later on, there was no way I was controlling anything here, and that brought fear to me. I couldn't control this. And yet now we just fly 12 hours in a plane or 15 hours in a plane. And we travel in countries that bad things could happen to you. Well, I remember when we were in Kenya, there were a group of gangster-type people that were going into motels. They were killing the guards. A lot of the hotels and motels in African countries especially have guards and gates and fences and wire and all sorts of things around them. They were taking machetes, killing the people and the guards, and going in to the rooms and robbing all the guests at the motel. We were traveling through Kenya. That was a reality. We were in a compound out in the western part, I guess, of Kenya, close to the Uganda border, and there were witch doctors. And there was one that was arrested while we were there, and he had a list of names that he had lines drawn through. And they realized these were all the missing persons that were in that area. He had killed these people on his list. And we have been in Muslim nations where terrorist attacks. We were in Istanbul airport just 2 months before that shooting where the terrorists came in. And we were actually sitting in the one area where the one terrorist killed a number of people waiting in the departure area of the Istanbul airport. And we've been in El Salvador and in San Salvador, and at nighttime you can hear the gunshots of the gangs and the police shooting it out. It was just the normal sound that you heard during the night. The gangs were shooting at each other as well as the police shooting at them. And yet the Father's protected us, and he allowed us to walk free from all this fear, because love trumps fear, and love trumps need, and love trumps the future. We're not fearful of the future. A lot of people are really concerned about what's happening and what's going to happen, and walking in love sets you free from that. And we're not foolish or presumptuous about this. We're not getting into an area of not being real or aware of what's going on, and we're not being foolish, taking risks that we don't need to take, we don't have to take. I can remember we were in Nairobi, and I had a camera, and the people would rob you right on the street. So I wasn't even thinking about it. I was taking pictures of Sue and things, walking down through there with camera and not even being concerned at all what was happening. We were there because we knew we had the calling, we had the witness in our heart to do it, and we had the prayer support covering us, and we were walking in the faith that we had of our loving Heavenly Father even before we even knew Him that well. And we were not being prideful about it. We were walking in the humility and the humbleness and reality of that was the Father was doing all this and protecting us and taking care of us. And I don't want to give you the impression that we have arrived. There are still times when fear can try to take over. There's still times when we can allow the poverty thinking to impact us, and we can still allow ourselves to become need-minded. And so it's a process. We're all walking through this together. Some of us may be a little further down the road than others, but we're trying to help those that aren't as far as we are to come up to where we are, and we're allowing people who are ahead of us to help us to go on and to walk in more freedom. Walk in more sonship and more revelation of the Father's love. I heard Trevor Galpin from Father Heart Ministries say, we're just four-year-olds teaching three-year-olds. And we're in this growing and revealing process ourselves. So this is James Clark's theology, and I kind of like it, that God is love and He's always good. That's about as simple as you can make it. And yet it covers everything. He's a good, faithful, loving Father that is continually pursuing us. And it's a matter of us believing it in our heart. What is truth to you? What are you believing as true? Are you believing that Father is loving and that He's good? Are you believing that you are His son or His daughter? Are you allowing Him to walk in that? And in his book, he had the Father speak into his heart, and he said that Father is always with us, and He's constantly saying, I love you. And then He asks us, do you believe Me? And so the question is, do you believe Me? Not me, the person, but Father's asking you, do you believe Me? Can you believe Me? Can you let the truth into your heart? Can you allow that to be the belief, to the foundation of your faith and the foundation of your walking in the truth? And when we act like the truth and when we believe the truth, the Bible says it sets us free. The freedom, the real freedom of sonship and walking in sonship is believing that we're sons and daughters and that He is a good, always loving Heavenly Father to us. No ifs, ands, or buts. Don't add to that or subtract from that. He's always good and He's always loving. And we can all bring up the buts. Well, but this, or why has that happened to that person? Why that happened to me? What's wrong with me? And those kind of things. You just gotta zip that. Like we used to tell the kids, zip your lip. Stop saying those things. Stop thinking those things. He's always good, and He's always loving. period.